This episode is sponsored by Factor Meals, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service.
This is Philosophy versus Improv, where two sages try to teach each other a thing or two, and maybe you, the audience, get something out of it as well.
This is Bill Arnett, a philosophy cadet, though an improv commodore.
This is Mark Linsenmeyer. I don't think that there really should be any military ranks associated with improv, but definitely a philosopher major general.
Okay.
And we have two guests. It's team play. Linda, introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Linda. I'm an improviser.
Okay. Sorry. That's what we're looking for.
That seemed perfectly unplanned and in the moment.
And?
I'm Andrew, and I'm the very model of a modern major general of philosophy.
Okay. All right.
It is good to look for the very model, the platonic ideal of the modern major general. I don't want an off-brand, atypical one who only has three limbs.
I technically am a modern major general, but I am not the very model of one.
Well, before you ding, three limited naval officers realize Lord Horatio Nelson was three.
Yeah, that was actually a very unfortunate choice of, you know, in philosophy, when they talk about like the paradigm case of something and like, oh, a tiger normally has four legs, but some have three legs. And that doesn't mean it's not a tiger. It was an unfortunate context. Linda, do you want to insult the military before we get going? Insult people?
Or the disabled? Or yeah,
I don't. Maybe. But I did want to mention that Lord Horatio Nelson is buried in the church Princess Diana got married in.
There we go.
Very important.
I have no idea who this guy is.
Oh.
Okay, let's history time. Go ahead, Bill.
Nelson's Column, Trafalgar Square.
I know Trafalgar Square.
Curse me, Hardy.
He was an English naval man.
Okay.
And he fought, like, I think maybe against the Spanish Armada. This I'm going to fuck up. But it was against Spain. And he invented, like, the, what is it called, Bill? The hitting of the T or whatever? Like,
crossing the T.
The
T-bone.
Yeah.
When you think about, like, British naval supremacy in the 17th, 18th century, he started that.
He did.
It began with his victory at Trafalgar. And it was never ceded for the next 100 years. Never tested.
I don't know that much about his naval information, but I know a lot about his personal life.
Well, I know he was part of the band Nelson with his twin brother, Nelson Nelson.
Salacious details of his one-handedness, you know?
Yes. He only had one arm.
Was he gay? Was he not gay?
I think he was not gay. I think he was with a lot of different women.
Okay.
I do think that. I also know that when he died at sea, at war, they weren't going to get back to England for a long time, but they needed to preserve his body. So they put him in a vat of alcohol, and he was just in that vat until they
pickled and rum. Wow. I mean, should any sailor of the era, is there any better way to go?
Right. I don't think so.
Quite a sacrifice when you're out at sea, like a whole barrel of rum.
What? What? We're wasting it?
You don't have to waste it. I mean, just because someone's basting it, I mean, it's still edible. Yeah,
you could still drink it.
A little gamey.
There's no bacteria growing in there. So.
Yeah.
Right. But I think we're missing the point. This wasn't someone. This was Horatio Nelson.
Flipping Nelson. England expects that every man will do his duty.
Mm-hmm. So the new rules for this show are that we do not just say either of the lessons right up front. There's going to be a philosophy lesson. There's going to be an improv lesson. We do what we're doing here. And then eventually we'll start being in a scene. And hopefully, at least Andrew and I know what the philosophy lesson is. So we're going to maybe try to work it in and you can try to guess.
Not before we discuss Chester A. Nimitz, Admiral, United States Navy. 1931 to 1948.
How many limbs did he have? No.
He had all of them.
He was like, what, 18 when he died or something?
18 when he died. 18 when he died.
18 when he died.
Wow, that's becoming an admiral at 17.
Yeah. He was actually pickled in a pickle barrel.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the term to pickle did not exist until he died at an age of 18, was stuffed into a barrel.
Exactly. And I do believe that on his gravestone, it says in a pickle. And that's also how they got that phrase.
Mm-hmm. And this is the guy from the Seth Rogen movie.
Moving on to Admiral Publius Africanus of the late Roman Republic era.
I hate that guy.
BC 12.
Yes, I remember him now.
I'm done. Come on now. Drink my coffee. Can we be done, please? I'm thankful for your leniency and letting me go off, but I can't imagine the people at home are in any way enjoying.
I should have brushed up on my naval history.
You have to remember the people who established our freedoms, who put themselves out there to rape and pillage lands in order to establish freedom.
Your Jeffersons, your Lockes, your Rousseaus.
I mean, did Rousseau do? I mean, I know he had a smelly dog that he would bring around to places, but I don't think he actually did a lot of firsthand raping and pillaging and military stuff in order to sacrifice,
Yeah, I don't think so.
But could his philosophy have been used to justify naval conquest?
Well,
so I don't know. In his own way, he's
Rousseau's a little bit harder on that front, but I think people do. People do.
Locke was definitely used for that, but Rousseau is like the noble savage. Locke. So he would be more like the Stripes, the Bill Murray in Stripes would be the noble savage bucking authority, saying authority is trying to corrupt me. I need to assert my independence and innate wittiness.
That's a fact, Jack.
Is the worst colonizer the one that thrusts the bayonet or the one that gives the order?
Right.
Or the one who sits in Europe and justifies colonization.
And justifies it. Yes.
Well, on their slave plantation.
Yeah. Gives the man permission.
For a second, while you guys were philosophizing, I was thinking that I was starting to kind of feel bad about myself that there were no women in history that we were mentioning. I was like, oh, we should be talking about more women. And then I felt better when I thought, oh, it's because we're talking about murder.
I mean,
there won't be any women in that list.
General MacArthur was a trans woman. Most people don't know that.
Oh, but I did not know that.
I mean, he was just a trans man. I'm sorry, I get this mixed up. But it was very, very convincing. That was the thing. Like, nobody even questioned. So
I'm not including him as a woman.
Yeah, that was the, again, I'm stepping in it. I'm stepping in it. First with the limbs, and then miss screwing up the trans order.
This is where Mark gets canceled. This is exciting. We're watching it in real time.
We're not going to dead name MacArthur here, okay? Douglas is their name.
Okay, I mean, it was born Prudence, but you know, fine. If you read the biographies.
Y'all know that like Marie Curie's notebook is like so radioactive it's not on display anywhere. They have to keep it in like a safe. No one's allowed to touch it.
Really?
That's kind of like, ugh. That's
the Geiger counter. It's
like really canceled.
You see somebody like upset. Like, we need to celebrate this woman. We need her.
Talk about erasing history.
In museum. Exactly. But it's like, yeah, here's the thing. We're really not trying to erase history here. It's just very dainty. It's about a chess escarole a minute every time you're in the room with that thing. So,
I mean, it could be like the Mona Lisa where you get to be in the room with the Mona Lisa, but it's through so much glass. You're barely in the same room with it. It might as well be a TV screen showing a picture of the Mona Lisa. So maybe it's a similar situation where you got your Faraday cages and you got your, you can look through a little tube and say, that's something that Mercury touched.
Is there a philosophy lesson for today, or is this it?
There is one, but we have not stumbled.
We've been steered
a little.
Okay, there's some steerage. Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Steerage.
Okay. Okay.
Again, back to the shipping analogy.
Okay.
Wow. Connections.
Okay.
So, yes, at the end of this thing, if people have not figured out this very orderly parade of lessons, then we will all get a vote. That's the way it works on the teams. And it's okay to whatever you say. You don't have to vote against your team. I'm just saying you can really relax. You don't have to feel like I have to really fight hard for my philosophy lesson. Maybe the thing we picked sucks. It's okay.
These are all clues, Linda.
I mean, arguably it does suck. So,
yeah. Interesting. Okay. Philosophy. Okay. It does suck.
So, therefore, do you have a guess?
Vacuum cleaners. They work well while they suck.
Right.
How fascinating is that? They suck on purpose.
I guess there's philosophy having to do with vacuums, like nature abhors a vacuum, but not vacuum cleaners that I'm aware of.
Okay. I mean, nature does abhor a vacuum cleaner. I mean, if you put one of those things, just you leave it on the lawn for 6 months, it's not really in good shape.
Yeah.
It's no longer usable.
Yeah. No, the elements are going to get at it.
Who quoted that nature abhors a vacuum? What philosopher do we have to thank for that?
A major whore.
It's an ancient Greek. Ancient Greek.
Okay. Dictum. All right.
And I don't know where, I don't know where it first comes from, but yeah, it's like, it's been around for a long, long time.
Yeah. It's really strong. Why abhor? Why isn't nature mildly dislikes? Nature tries to remedy.
Nature does not prefer a vacuum. Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of where we ended up, right?
Right.
Nature doesn't prefer a vacuum, but they exist.
I mean, if it really didn't prefer it, then why is so much of space a vacuum? Huh? Why isn't all the air from all the planets go rushing out there?
It's all filled with ether. It's all filled with the quintessence with ether.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, maybe something lost in translation. Just going to throw that out there. Maybe we should reevaluate those Greek texts every so often and be like, yeah, people don't really, we have different words for that now.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what is nature? Does nature include human nature when they say nature abhors a vacuum?
Yeah. No.
No.
You're, we love you too many questions. You can say with some confidence. Letting us talk.
When my son was very young, we got him a little pretend vacuum cleaner, and he just loved vacuum, vacuum, vacuum. That was like his favorite thing to do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. My son has a fake vacuum too.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. We're teaching our men and domestic work. This is good.
The problem is he doesn't like, you know, when it's time to put it away. And we have to be like authoritarian about it. Then he like rebels against that. He doesn't like when we're just like sort of, if it like feels to him like we're infringing on his rights. Mm-hmm. And it can be hard. It's hard to play the authoritarian when you're not authoritarian by nature. Right.
Well, I want to thank everybody for coming to preschool orientation. It's great to see some adults here. I'm going to say it's great to see some men here as well. I know a lot of times the way the world is changing, it's great to see everybody here helping raise these kids. Mm-hmm. And couples here also. That's outstanding. My name is Mr. Clint. I will be the lead teacher here in the classroom. We're going to have two other teachers as well, assistant teachers as well, for these kids here in preschool too. I'm not sure if I have any specific questions. I can answer those now, or we can start going over the curriculum.
When's snack time?
Well, we're going to have a snack time at about 10 a.m. The school will provide a snack, and then...
No. I meant for us, for the orientation, like snack time for us.
we didn't really have that in the schedule. We were going to start here for about 7 and maybe go to 7:45, 8. We didn't really...
I have to use the bathroom. Can I use the bathroom?
Yeah.
Do you need some help? Do you need some help?
I might. I'll tell you, I'll try on my own, and then I'll call out, I need a wipe, if I need a wipe. All right. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Can I just say real quick, I am not going to be the wiper. That's just not going to be me. I've been to these a lot, right? I know we didn't call me out. We just called out how glad we were the men were here. But yeah. I've been here a lot.
You have, yeah. I just meant it's good to see everybody here. And I'm hoping you can hopefully wipe for yourself.
Well, he said he was going to call out for a wipe, and I'm not going to do that.
I'll totally do that. I feel very strongly.
Everybody, let's kind of keep, I don't mean to pull focus here.
I didn't need a wipe. I did it all by myself. It's all good.
Good job.
So we can just move right past that. Thanks, everyone.
Sure. Well, if there's any other business before we get started here, I just wanted to go over the curriculum. There isn't much of a curriculum, let me say that. It's going to be mostly people skills, sharing, raising hands, sitting quietly, that type of thing we're going to make.
But at a second grade level, right?
At a preschool level. These children are three and 4 years old.
Oh, I was promised that my kid would be as smart as a second grader by the end of the school year. Is that not right?
Well, you know,
they don't tell you which second grader.
Right. Just any generic second grader.
Oh, I just thought he meant a really...
Or just wait. Oh, one
subpar second rater.
Like Jeremy.
Yeah. Right.
We all know a Jeremy.
Yeah. I got burned by the, you know, the small print again. Whoops.
Again, this is just preschool, everybody. We're holding hands. We're singing songs. We're dancing. Maybe we'll talk about the alphabet. You know, maybe we're not even there. We're literally just getting these kids having fun, enjoying each other, getting used to the process of school, getting used to getting up.
Which one is the alphabet again?
The ABCs. The ABCs.
Yeah, the American alphabet.
English alphabet, ABCs.
Is that, so how's the rest go? A, B, and then C.
D, E, F, G. All right, did you?
I'm getting tripped up on this G.
Okay, all right. I just...
It does have two sounds. It's like a hard one, and then and then the soft one actually sounds like when you say G.
Everybody here went to school, right? Everybody here, you went to school. You're adults, right?
I go to school all the time.
You have children.
I got through it. Let's put it that way.
I have children, but I go to school all the time.
Well, not dropping off your kids, but I mean, you graduated from high school, or at least an equivalency degree, I'm presuming. Maybe not. I shouldn't presume.
Do you know how to count to 10?
I've actually never heard of a number as high as 10.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Okay. So what else don't you know? Do you know how to drive a car?
Yeah, I know how to drive a car.
So you got no how, just not know that.
I don't know those words.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
I don't think he went to high school then. I don't think he's a high school graduate.
I'm not sure if you went to.
I went to high school. Graduate is a strong word, but I went to high school.
Okay.
Are you a Jeremy?
I think we got a Jeremy on our hands.
Okay, everybody, let's not make fun of the guy. Let's not make fun of the guy. If you want to, we do have an open parent policy that parents are always welcome to sit back in the back of class. If you would like to sit in the back of class, you may.
Oh, you definitely should do that.
And if I need a wipe,
I would really prefer you just take care of that before you come, or we're really going to be here
I'm happy to help out with the wiping. I mean, so when you say open parent, you mean just, you know, community adults, because like it's like we're all parents. It takes a village.
Well, on school property, we take who knows the children very seriously. Mm-hmm. And any parent who stays has to be a registered guardian. Yeah. And it can't just be a random.
I think that infringes on people's freedom.
Yeah, I mean, it does. I'm not going to lie. It does. And we do it to keep the children safe.
I'm sorry. What is your name?
My name?
No. The stupid dad.
Should we all go around and say our names?
Yeah.
Jeremy, what's your name?
My name is actually Stupid Dad. It's kind of, yeah, it's weird.
Well, that's just what I was calling you. What's your name? Your name's got to be something else.
I thought you just told me what my name was. I'm sorry.
I just called you that.
Do you know your name? Do you know your name?
I don't know how to spell it, but my name is Deuteronomy.
Oh, that is a tough one.
That is hard to spell. That's pretty mean.
I could see how you would lose interest in school very early.
Yes. Yeah, it was pretty much right away when they started trying to get me to spell my name. I was just like, I'm done with this. Checking out.
Can we call you D? Is that okay?
Yeah. I consent. Okay. I consent.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, you know, what would be really cool is if Johnny Cash were still alive, and then he could write a song about you called A Boy Called Deuteronomy, and it'd be like a follow-up to A Boy Named Sue.
Yeah. I mean, if it would be helpful, I'd be happy to write such a song. If every kid deserves their own special song.
Oh, yeah. Are you a musician?
Of a sort. I like the children's music. I like to sing with the children. They just call me the general.
Oh.
You have a child in the class? General?
I mean, all the children are really part of my fan club.
Is there
family.
A specific child? Is there? If I were to go down the attendance list, we have 12 kids.
I mean,
are you
that one? Sure.
That one.
Honestly, I think that's kind of private. I don't think you have a right to ask them.
Yet. Yeah.
But we're exactly. trying to keep the kids safe. And as parents, I'm not sure how the rest of you feel, but I certainly... Yeah. Want to make sure that every adult in the room belongs there and is there for a legitimate
reason. There's always a trade-off between individual rights and safety.
It's true.
And
we are trading individual rights to be in the room for the safety of the children. We're going to do that math all day.
I mean, I have sort of the soul of a child. I've like, you know, I had some troubles when I was younger. And so I kind of didn't get to experience childhood in the normal way. And so I just find it more comfortable to spend as much time as possible with preschoolers and just help them in any way I can and sing songs.
That is nice.
Yeah.
And we did say it was nice to see men.
Yeah, exactly.
I did not mean it like that. I meant male parent, guardian, role model.
Role model. Types. I'm definitely a role model. I help with the wiping, with the singing.
He's a real go-getter.
Do you want a song for you?
Well, hey, General, maybe you and Dee can get together and you can kind of do some tutoring and maybe we can get Dee working on the alphabet numbers. I think. Wiping? I think the two of you, this might be a match made.
A giant child. That is my theory.
You know, when Dee first said, I'll yell out if I need a wipe, I did think that was weird, but now it makes sense.
Childlike. How old are you, Dee?
I don't know numbers.
Okay. Are you this many?
Ooh, that. I can't count that fast.
I think you're going to give him a seizure to flash in your fingers like that. Oh, that's really fast.
Dangerous.
I've lost interest in your hands, whatever's going on over there.
Ma'am, what's your name? What's your deal? Mm-hmm. What's your child?
Yeah, my name is Julie, Julee. Mm. And my child is Albert. Albertte.
That is very confusing to me.
Julie has had a number of children enrolled here at the school, and we're excited to meet young Albert.
What what number?
I have had 7.
Oh,
Albert is lucky number 7.
I know the number 7.
Oh, yeah. You can count to 7, I think.
I can get as high as 7. I can go 8, I think is the next one.
Mm-hmm. It is. Do you have children here, Dee? Do you?
Yeah. Little Jeremy's mine.
Okay. All right. I met Jeremy earlier this week. He seemed very polite and well-adjusted and seemed to understand.
He's fine.
He knew his name.
Yeah. Don't blow smoke up my butt. You know, he's fine.
He was really sharp. He could talk. Not every kid can talk at preschool. Some are just kind of babble or just have single words. He actually had some whole sentences. That was really... Does he have another caregiver as well, or is this just a gift?
It's something that comes naturally to him. He was just sort of born that way.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought when you pulled up here that he was driving.
Yeah, he drives. We got some blocks of wood on the pedals, and he's...
That's crazy, because you said you know how to drive a car.
Well, he's a better driver than I am. I know how. I mean...
Your 4-year-old child is a better driver than you are.
It just comes naturally to him. He's just it's just like people are born free. And I don't think the rules of society should like put people in chains, you know?
So is he waiting in the car now? Is that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's reading. Sometimes he likes to read like the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. He just like kicks back, relaxes. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Jeremy is not a Jeremy, I guess I should have said.
Yeah.
Jeremy is not. Yeah,
I feel bad for using that in a generic derogatory manner now that.
Well, to be honest, I'm more of a Jeremy than Jeremy.
You know what would be, you should tell people? You should tell people that you and your son switched bodies and then everybody would think you were smart. You know what I mean?
I like that. I'm going to write that down.
I mean, I'm starting to think that actually is the most reasonable explanation for what I've witnessed here.
Do you need a giant fat pencil? Would that help write it down?
Yeah, because I can only hold things with my whole hand. Yeah, so that would be great.
Okay, we'll get you that. Maybe this is against all the rules, but if you wanted to just come to preschool and Jeremy can pick you up afterwards, I think that would be okay.
That'd be great. Jeremy has work, actually. He
has work? He has a job?
Yeah, someone's got to make money in this family, so.
What is the job?
He doesn't tell me.
I guess that's sensitive to not explain, you know, to not burden the innocent ones at home with daily doings.
I'm pretty sensitive about that kind of thing.
I know I don't talk to the children about my military time and what they always ask about what happened to my left hand. And I just don't even want to tell them.
General, let's just pull back on that, General. To all the other parents who are here wondering what is going on, I just want to say that this is not common here at Bright Starts Pre-K. I've been spending a lot of time with these people here. That's not the case. All the children will receive the attention they have. Feel free to go over that reader. We have some information on that if you have any questions about that.
I'm pulling my child out. I'm leaving. You guys suck.
Oh.
Oh, guess you lost one.
That was kind of rude.
That was very rude. We think you suck too.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta freely choose to come here, you know? That's what Jeremy always tells me is it's like consent of the governed, stuff like that. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
This brain switch hypothesis is getting more and more likely with each passing minute. I know it was suggested in jest. I don't know all that science stuff.
I just...
Yeah.
God, it gets me so mad that somebody's just going to walk out of here and tell us that we suck. You know, they don't know anything about our lives. He doesn't even know why I have 7 kids. Lucky number 7 kids.
Yeah, why do you have 7 kids? Tell us.
Because my husband suffers from PTSD. And on the nights that he's really bad, we have to have unprotected sex. We have to.
I know very little about the world, but I do know that that sounds fishy.
Yeah, I've used that excuse many times myself, but you know, it's always bullshit. Not that I know his situation. Maybe he has all his limbs.
You don't know his situation and you don't know mine.
If you'll just
let me continue telling it, then you'll know mine.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
He needs to have sex.
Because of his PTSD.
That's the explanation.
No, it is. It gets really bad. If he doesn't have unprotected sex, he tries jumping out the window. He does crazy stuff. You know what I mean? He's like,
I think you are
trying to drown himself in the bathtub.
A very good partner, seems to me.
I'm just trying to keep him alive. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Was he a veteran or
how'd he get PTSD? Yeah.
Deepwater Horizon?
Well, he got it from reading books about wars.
Mm.
He used to love, you know, the English boat stuff. You know how they were so good? They were a brilliant navy. Remember that? Like back in the 1700s and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't remember anything from the 1700s.
That's true. You'll never understand this story. You don't even have to listen. Anyway,
The Age of Pirate Ships, right.
Right.
The Age of Pirate Ships.
I like pirates. Into that. And he was so into it, and without knowing it, as he read and read and read, he was actually giving himself PTSD.
From the paper cuts?
I don't know. I think he was just so horrified. You know, like, it's war. You know what I mean? It's not pretty.
Jeremy says we're not allowed to say whore.
We didn't say, we said war. Did I actually accidentally say whore?
No.
I thought I said war.
Some people just hear whore everywhere.
You said
whore.
Oh, okay.
You
okay,
said
good.
Horrified and not allowed to say whore.
Oh, I did.
Whore.
I did say that.
Making someone into a whore.
It's a different word.
Mm-hmm. It is a different word. I think different root.
Are you going to teach Jeremy that in preschool?
No, that's not in the purview of... Jeremy won't be here. You'll be here.
Oh, yeah.
Deuteronomy,
Teach suffix. You'll teach roots and Latin roots. You won't use whore as the example. I mean, that's inappropriate.
We're going to be singing Ring Around the Rosie on the playground.
But that's a scarring song. You know what that's about, right? It's like about the plague. Well,
again, I'm not sure if that is scarring to the degree that requires...
I don't want...
You know, I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to judge.
PTSD'd by having to sing Ring Around Rosie. And then you'll have kids having unprotected sex. I don't like any of that.
Oh, well, I don't know if the kids have to have unprotected sex. I just know my husband does.
No.
They will if they get PTSD'd.
No.
Well, it depends on how they get PTSD'd and what's happening. Because actually, what happened, it's very specific with him because he would be reading like National Geographic and stuff like that about pirates when he was, you know, right at his coming of age. And so he normally was... you know, masturbating while he was reading these pirate stories and then giving himself PTSD. That's why he has to have unprotected sex right now.
I think maybe your husband's solutions are best solved with a therapist. And I appreciate that you were trying to help out. But
he doesn't need a therapist. He has me.
Well, maybe some additional support. You and a therapist, maybe some additional support could be beneficial. And there are also ways for you yourself to prevent pregnancy, despite the non-protected nature, you know. And you can look into those. And
if she wants to live her life that way, then you shouldn't tell her to live her life another way.
We have gotten very far from what we were set out to do here to get everybody oriented. And it's almost, we have spent 45 minutes just talking about non-preschool topics. Everyone else has left. They have taken their paperwork. I hope they don't disenroll their children. This could close the school if they withdraw all their kids.
It's easy to get extra kids, though. You go out on the street and you offer some candy, and then you tell them, come into this preschool. It works pretty well.
That is the fault in all of us as adults. Mm-hmm. If that works well, we are all to blame.
Right.
Yeah. That's why children are so innocent and perfect and should be good for us to be around.
I'm feeling uncomfortable.
Yeah. Me too.
I don't know what you're talking about. All right.
I think we're done. Let's stop there.
And
adjourn the meeting. Yeah.
Once you get the candy advance, then this thing's over. That's a universal law of improv, right? That's the lesson, right? Pedophilia.
Oh yeah.
I think that's, we guessed it, Mark.
I viewed my character as actually having perfectly pure motives, but it just looks really bad.
I have seen that kind of child abuse pedophilia stuff work precious few times. Improvisers think they're being edgy or being fun or like, and then it usually fails miserably, unredeemably bad. Yeah, I can count on one hand the time I've seen someone actually pull that off. Precious few times.
Oh, boy.
I'm wondering with the dynamics of that scene, you know, given how Linda upped the ante with her home life stories, of how nasty this would get if you just let it go for like 45 minutes.
I mean, it's hard to say. I didn't know if it was going to get anywhere.
I loved the story. It was full of details and ridiculous and self-indictment after self-indictment. And then when I pushed back on it, you were like, no, only I can help him.
Yeah, it was very like true to the character. She felt like that kind of person that was like, he doesn't need a therapist. He needs me.
He needs me. Yeah. Yeah.
That was
true. Keep having these babies.
We must talk about Factor Meals, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service.
Throughout this holiday season, you're going to have some jam-packed days, and you need nutritious, convenient meals to keep you energized. Well, Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service, can help you fuel up fast for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You will save time, eat well, and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle while tackling all your holiday to-dos. Now, I have given Factor Meals as a gift. I set my father up for a plan that I was paying for, had him unwrap a card that said, hey, here's a bunch of free meals. They are fresh, never frozen. They're ready in just 2 minutes. And I sat down with him at the website to choose from the 35-plus weekly flavor-packed meals to help him choose things that he would enjoy and that meet his very stringent requirements regarding nutrition and the use of premium ingredients. And it went over great. It was a great gift, and he is continuing to use the service on his own. Because who would not want some very convenient food options added to their life? The kind of stuff you'd get at a fancy restaurant, creamy Parmesan chicken, artichoke and Parmesan pork chop. And of course, they have many vegetarian options, the vegetarian tamale bowl, the vegan mushroom marsala. And there are delicious dietitian-approved calorie smart meals with around less than 550 calories per serving, protein plus meals with 30 grams of protein or more per serving. You can get a wellness boost with cold-pressed juices, shakes, and smoothies. And there are over 45 add-ons, wholesome breakfast items, lunch to go. Enjoy eating well without the hassle. Head to factormeals.com/improv50 and use code improv50 to get 50% off. That's code improv50 at factormeals.com/improv50 to get 50% off.
Sticky notes, email alerts, a string around your finger. They're just not big enough. So here's a big reminder from the California Lottery. Tonight's Mega Millions jackpot is over 250 million. Whew. Play now. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player claim.
Now, there was a moment early on, and I'm curious from Mark and Linda's perspective here, when Andrew went for like to take on a preschooler, I need to go potty, was very, very funny. And I was curious, were either of you thinking, I should do the same thing or could do the same thing and also be childish? Or are you thinking, that's Andrew's thing, I will be a different person? I don't think there's a right answer. I'm just curious if that thought occurred to you.
The thought didn't even occur to me.
I was already in a character rut as the, when am I going to reveal that I don't have a child in the class?
Okay. So you had that. Mm-hmm. Okay. You had that. Okay. That's kind of a crossroads moment in that scene. It's like, all right, are all these adults children? In another universe, that scene happened and that scene was hilarious and ridiculous in its own regard. And in this universe, everyone, all the adults were different. Mm-hmm. Not that everyone being a child wouldn't have just as much chance of success or.
Right, right.
And how, Andrew, did being a child support your introduction of our philosophical topic for today, philosophical liberalism?
So that was just like a choice that had nothing to do with the philosophy. I read the philosophy in after the fact. So like it didn't. It probably hindered it.
Well, I was even less helpful. So it was. Are you guys familiar with this term, philosophical liberalism, as opposed to just political liberalism, which everybody knows what that is?
I'm not familiar with the term.
Andrew, do you want to get into it?
Yeah. So like when like a troll online says like liberalism is a mental illness, then what they're talking about is like left of center politics, like left versus right, like liberal versus conservative.
Right. That was the part I understood.
Yeah. And philosophy and political theory, when we say liberal, we mean something quite specific. And like some of the people we've mentioned, like Thomas Jefferson, John Locke, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, and people like that are like kind of the classical liberals. And it starts in this kind of state of nature theory where everyone's out in nature just sort of foraging to survive. And then we come together and we make a society and we all consent to be part of society and we give up some of our freedoms so that we can make a society together. And that's the picture of society that liberals have. And it comes into tension, and it's like in tension right now. It's part of why Mark and I thought of this as just like, it just feels very pertinent because you have anti-liberalism on the right in the like Trump is an anti-liberal on the right. And evangelical Christians are anti-liberals on the right.
Cancel all the elections.
Exactly. And then on the left, you also have anti-liberalism. Like, so a lot of leftists and progressives distinguish themselves from liberals. They think of themselves as doing something different. So yeah, you have this kind of liberalism is kind of like the center of American politics, both on the left and right. And then you have these different factions that are anti-liberal that are, you know, in different ways, trying to like impose values on society apart from just like what people consent to, right? They're like trying to say, no, society has to be this way, even if people don't want it to be that way or don't consent, you know, don't like freely consent to it being that way. Like leftists want to control corporations and limit their freedom quite severely. It's not about like, oh, we need to like get them to consent. We need to like use the marketplace of ideas to get them to consent to environmental regulations. Like leftists are like, no, we need to like force them to stop polluting the environment, right? Or force them to pay people. And that's like an anti-liberal idea.
Okay. So What about a libertarian? Where is a libertarian left-right compared to a liberal?
Yeah. So like a libertarian is basically
below, above.
They're like the purest idea of what I think of as like a liberal. You often think of politics as like left, right, and then authoritarian, libertarian. So it's
okay.
And you can have a left libertarian-ish, though usually when we say libertarian, we mean right-wing libertarian kind of, or maybe sort of centrist libertarian. Yeah. But there is such a thing as like a left-leaning libertarian who just like doesn't want the government to tell them not to smoke pot, doesn't want the government to tell people not to get abortions. You know, so it's like very aligned with certain left-wing values.
Sure. Okay.
So freedom.
Freedom.
Yes, the liberty involved is just freedom. Right. So maximum.
Certainly I heard a lot of in your all's thing about, you know, well, why can't I be here and whatnot? You're bringing that in for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. And I know with liberal economics, it's actually laissez-faire is liberal, which is actually not the center. So I guess that word gets thrown around quite a bit.
Yeah. Typically, classical liberalism ends up looking kind of libertarian maybe right of center in certain kinds of ways, because when you start intervening in the market in certain ways, I think a lot of people are going to think you're starting to do something kind of anti-liberal. You're sort of infringing on people's freedoms. You're not just like letting the marketplace or the marketplace of ideas kind of determine how things go by people freely interacting. You're starting to introduce these externalities, which are like coercing people or doing things which are making choices for other people, which is kind of anathema to liberalism.
What about my freedom to breathe clean air? What about my...
Well, you're getting at no rights. You're getting, though, at Andrew was stressing consent. So one of the sort of the famous 20th century voices in liberalism is this guy, John Rawls, who has a very politically liberal view, you know, in that you want to, if you were imagining, if you're creating a society from scratch and you didn't know, like, what rules would you come up with if you didn't know where you would end up in that society?
I'm the king. No, rule number one.
If you didn't know, if you're behind what he calls a veil of ignorance, I don't know, we're all together and we're going to start a society.
Well, I'd probably be the king because I'm so awesome.
That's true.
Yeah, the best you could say is like person A is going to be king, and I hope I'm person A, but I probably am not just statistically. So
no, I do value that idea. I have heard that veil of ignorance thing. And this idea is like, what kind of game would you design if you didn't know what role you were going to be? And I think many, many, many people won't push back on that but that wouldn't happen to me. Cause you know, it's like, I think it takes a big dose of humility. I don't know what it takes, but a
couple slaps in the face. Yeah.
I think women would be very good at this job.
Thank you.
That's part of the thing of Rawls is you don't know if you're a woman, you don't know your gender, you don't know your race, you don't know your eye color. And so any of those things that you
might use
to weight things in your favor, you don't know any of that. Yeah. And so you have to just make rules that apply to generic human beings.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think I would want to separate things in two camps, right? Either this is just like a personal freedom, right? Such as breathing or eating or, you know, going to the bathroom or having sex, whatever. And then I would want
having someone wipe you after you
having somebody wipe you after you go to the bathroom. And then the other one would be, are we playing a game right now? And I would call like any sort of like group interaction a game. So like your job, business, philosophy, government, whatever it is, that's all a game. And then all the games have to have rules. And I guess you would have to make those rules up as you go along.
So you're thinking like the personal stuff kind of like it like transcends the game thing in a way. It's like you have these rights sort of before you enter into any games.
Inalienable rights.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a very kind of liberal idea.
Wherever I want. I should be able to have sex wherever I want. Is that
right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have as many babies as
your right to take a dump anywhere you want ends at my face.
Yeah.
Yes. Where my face begins.
Right. Then we're getting into like
Without consent.
Well, that's a society rule, maybe. That's just a rule of society.
My foot is fair game. Face, not okay.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, if you say we're trying to design a society so that even the worst off are not that bad off, then that probably does, right? It's not just you get to do stuff, but we might have to help you do stuff. If you can't wipe, you have the right to be wiped, which means somebody has the obligation. Their freedom is curtailed because they have to do the wiping.
Mm-hmm. And now we're getting into like water, electricity, housing, cell phones, internet, Wi-Fi access. Is that now a bare essential in American society, having consistent internet access, you know?
Transportation,
Transportation, is that, yeah.
You have a right to those things, then someone else, like Mark was saying, has an obligation to provide those. And so that's where it sort of gets tricky, is where like a lot of libertarians start to like back off and be like, wait a second. I don't have an obligation to like wipe you or to go build like a Wi-Fi tower or a cell tower near you.
I just said private property. Okay. I didn't say all that other stuff.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, all that other stuff is kind of extensions of private property, I guess. Like, am I allowed to the air in my nose? Is that mine? Can I not have Linda's farts in it?
I know that you have to fight for your right to party. I know that much.
Is an alienable right.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite alienable. Yeah.
I feel like you have to fight for love somewhere too.
You certainly have to look for it.
You have to look in all the wrong places.
And all the wrong places, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know the first time we Olympians created a world, it didn't work out great. But this is why I've gotten us, just the four of us, no goddamn Hermes, his fucking feet.
Cool down, Zeus.
I mean, it's my son. I can shit talk him if I want. But, you know, so we got a fresh planet and we just got to figure out, like, do we want slavery?
Water, lots of water, so much water.
So Poseidon of you.
I am what I am, and that's what I am.
I was aware that we would have to do the water thing again, inviting you along, but
thank you.
You know, and Demeter, you know, doing the grain thing. Are you still into the grain thing?
Oh, not anymore.
What is your name?
Really?
I've just been hanging around with Mercury. Getting drunk all the time.
That's just Hermes using his fucking Roman name. Bacchus
egg.
You cannot talk bad about Hermes then, because he's fucking great.
I'm thinking the sun rises in the morning and it sets in the afternoon. And
not the afternoon.
Oh, pardon me, the evening, the early evening.
Yeah.
I have some plans usually in the summer. Maybe the sun could rise a little later in the summer. So I get my plans in, so I don't have to saddle up the chariot. Yeah.
Is that going to mess with my waves, though?
Is that cool if I do it? Just let the days go a little bit longer in the afternoons and the summertime? You know, is that cool?
Probably will help when people are trying to harvest my wheat.
Hey, okay. We could save time. Mm-hmm. We could save daylight.
Is it going to mess with my waves?
Your weight?
Waves. I need to know, is it going to mess with my waves?
I could, you know, a couple times a day.
That's a hard no for me. I'm out.
We went through this before, Helios, that Apollo was doing the sun thing, and then we just let him just like hang out and make you actually drive the chariot. This time around, you don't actually have to drive the chariot. You could be just in charge of the sun, and we could get some other schmuck to do it.
Or maybe we could have somebody be in charge of the moon, too, and then that would help with the waves.
Maybe we could outsource some of our responsibilities.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I know, in-source.
I know you were sort of screwed.
Resources.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. More with the water.
More water. Yeah, that's basically what I'm getting at.
Okay.
What if that's what we did with society? What if the people that we create don't actually have to do what they find someone else to do what they have to do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, you know, right. I'm with you so far.
Okay.
Like, you know what would help me?
Starting to sound a little bit like slavery by another name.
Wait, let's say I am naturally a good sheep herder. I'm a fantastic sheep herder, but I don't want to herd sheep. Then I can make someone else herd sheep for me. Ask someone, pay someone else to herd sheep. Mm-hmm. And I could write plays and be an actor.
Yes. I like that idea.
And pursue something else.
I like that. Right, because I'm trying to think. I did always just want to kind of, I know I like hanging out with Mercury.
Yeah.
And that's fun. So I just don't want to have to like tend to the fields or the animals all
the
time.
Find someone else to do it. You can pay someone else to do it. That's how this works.
Somebody else to feed them, like
all
the deer and
stuff.
We will
give all of these humans natural gifts and abilities and skills, but then they won't use them.
Mm.
They'll find someone less qualified to actually do the work.
So they can spend more time swimming in the ocean, right?
Sure. Yeah. Perhaps fishing, if that counts, if that's cool.
Fishing's cool with me.
Poseidon, Demeter threw away her grain thing. Maybe you could just diversify. You could still be into the water thing, but maybe like add to it. So it's just not water all the time. I mean, water's just freaking H2O. It's very simple.
Water and also steam or snow or ice.
Wow. Wow.
Well, you know what? Here's an idea. Completely off of what you guys were thinking. But maybe if we had like a bunch of people that inspired people, they could inspire people to do work. And then people actually would actually do the work. Like maybe we just need a group of inspiration makers.
People with like whips and guns and
No. They'd have to be all women, and they'd have to be, I think like 9 would be a good number. Maybe 10. Maybe one less than 10.
Maybe we could give them some fame and notoriety.
Yeah.
Across, right. You know, like idols, you know, and yes. Every year we could pick one, and then everybody is like, I want to be that. Well, mm-hmm. That's great. But right now you need to pick up these cans are lying around. Mm-hmm. You need to clean up this farm manure. Is that cool? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. If it means, I could be
the next year. I'm good. I can do one.
All right.
Year.
So you're talking about a new generation of muses, because I did not invite the last bunch of poetry. Oh, we want to inspire people. Inspire people to go out and pick up trash. I like this idea.
It's passé. The old muses were passé.
Yes.
Honestly.
I want to hear about Demeter's stories of going to the club and met and who she saw hooking up with whom.
Okay.
Those are the stories. Yeah. Not yes. Troy and battles and Iliads and Odysseys. No, it's the social lives of people that other people deem to be important.
Okay.
Mm.
So I'm just going to say this right here, right
now. Oh, we're going to get a little dose right now. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
What a treat.
Have you guys ever been to Sapphic? I think it's called Club Sapphic.
No. Sounds awesome.
Is it near Lesbos?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That's okay. Exactly. I know that. Yeah. 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 Okay. Right. That's a cool neighborhood.
I think actually Sapphic was the name of their beer. That's what I think it was. That was the name of their beer. But it was Club Lesbos.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm listening.
Okay. Yeah.
Isn't this better than every other art, quote unquote, that we've created? Isn't this amazing?
It's so good.
It's a little
Zeus, you're just shaking your head so over there.
A little bit sexier.
Like I showed up at that place, you know, in full, like as a bull, as I like to do.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
usually
yeah,
I get laid when I go down as a bull. I'm not sure why the chicks dig bulls specifically, but I could see, you know, that's why I keep doing it. But like, there was just no takers there. I just don't understand it.
No, that's because they're so cool. Okay. First of all, I didn't even know that people could dress like this, but they're dressed really great. Like they got like chains around their neck, like dainty ones though.
Wow. Yeah.
A lot of leather, obviously. Of course. And then, like, don't fuck with them because their fucking arms are crazy sexy. Okay? They're nice. They're, like, cut.
Do they like swimming?
Oh, my God. They love swimming. They love it. That's how they get their arms so cut. I mean, their bodies are works of art.
I am really. There. Yeah. I am
like,
there.
You think you saw like a good body in Venus de Milo? Uh-uh. These are slamming, smoking bodies. Six packs everywhere you look.
Do they like men?
No.
What about geese? I was thinking, like, you know, if they're in the water, I could be a goose. Seems like some ladies are into that.
No, boring.
I mean, that's worked in the past. I was a waterfall once, and no. I impregnated 3 people as a waterfall.
Natural beauty.
Sorry, Poseidon.
I was there. Yeah. I was there.
Right. Yeah.
It was pretty hot.
I was a little too intimate with Poseidon there. I don't want to do that again.
It was fine with me.
You feel protected. You feel like nobody is going to fuck with you, right? Like, because you've got all these warriors around you. So you feel protected. You feel cared for. You feel like everyone is just paying attention to you.
Wow. Wow.
I know. It's
Did you hang out with the muses amazing. before we met up? Because this is inspiring.
I mean, yeah. You know, sometimes when you're like in it, you just don't realize how great it is. But like now that I'm sitting around talking about it, it's just, I want to go back. I was there like 2 weeks ago and I'm just like thinking about it now. You guys are inspiring me to think about this, actually.
Should we make a new rule for society that like everyone has to have like 6 packs and killer arms and swimming all the time? And
that is important. That is going to be very important.
Yeah. You got to set up a bunch of statues to serve as models. where everybody's just really ripped.
What about the people who just like can't get ripped for whatever reason? Like they just can't do it.
Whoops-a-daisy. Someone's got to herd the sheep.
Exactly.
What about the rule that says you have to have, say, are you just like not allowed in the city or something?
We are going to be creating a hottocracy.
Oh, where I love that.
The hottest, most slamming, most awesome, most killer people make the rules. They probably don't even understand how rules work. That's fine. They just set the beat. We all dance to it.
Yep. And it's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
I don't know, man.
It's going to be beautiful.
It sounds like they're going to be all full of themselves. I'm going to have to, you know, use the lightning bolt to split them in half. So they'll be forever searching for their matching pair again.
That happens.
You
know what? That happened that one time.
Yeah.
I don't know how to make humans do this. Because like basically I'm a water guy.
What we're doing now? This?
I know how to do water. I don't know how to do humans other than just like splashing them with waves.
I mean, I know how to do them. You dress as a bull. You dress as a goose. You dress as a waterfall. There's lots of ways to do humans. And that's really what I want to get out of a new universe here is more ways.
I was not talking about doing them. I was talking about getting them to like do hotocracy or anyocracy at all, honestly, because do any of us know?
Well, once they see the society pages, once we get the word out there that there are other people that other people like,
they're going to want more.
Wait a minute. Everyone else thinks this one person is hot and I don't. I haven't heard. Yeah. No, they're hot. They're hot. I promise.
Yeah, they're hot.
Maybe they could just like.
It's okay to admit if people are hot for other people. You know what I mean?
I'm hot for pretty much anyone who's wet. So.
Yeah. Hot and wet. This is.
Those two go together.
I was thinking maybe.
Vinegar and oil.
Maybe we could have a system where like the hot people walk through the street and people just follow them around. And then that would be a way of like quantifying how many followers they have.
And that correlates 1-to-1 with ability, intelligence, and leadership skills.
Yeah. It does.
You know what? I just got a text. Elon Musk is buying this whole idea. So let's just type up what we've said so far. And
thanks, everybody. We'll stop there. Have fun.
He needs to go on a boat.
Good Greekin.
So even though in conception it was supposed to have something to do with the originary position, no, not really anything to do with that.
We got to hotocracy. I think that's pretty close.
Hotocracy was the best.
Yes. Yeah. So it was better. It was better than a planned community. This is Hayek is right that, you know, central planning is bad. Yeah. You gotta let things happen.
I'm pretty sure Jean-Jacques Rousseau was all about hotocracy.
Well, I think the idea that somehow naturally the best and the brightest would elevate to positions of government and that everyone would just kind of let that happen. It's like, right. What book are you reading?
Actually, it's like, that's a good critique of liberalism is like, you know, people freely voting for whoever they want is not going to result in people making choices that make any sense because they're going to like just vote for the hot one or the one that tells them what they want to hear or the one that, it's just like these things are divorced from one another. Like the qualities that make you a actually good leader and the qualities that might get people to vote for you.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm trying to guess what the improv lesson was. Do you know, Linda, do you know what the improv lesson was that Bill is trying to get across from? Because you know him so well.
I did mention something earlier.
Oh, okay.
That may have been a hint.
Okay. Either join as the same, you know, two people being the little kid, or go your own path.
Yeah, that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. As opposed to like, fighting against one or.
Mm-hmm. I was still stuck on the Spanish Armada and, you know, I was like, what is this teaching us about improv?
The lesson is join the battle with the wind at your back. Therefore, if the enemy turns to face you, they'll have the wind they will be traveling into the wind.
Yeah,
far more difficult to maneuver your ship traveling into the wind.
Right, that Denmark.
I mean, it seems to me like we live our lives like a candle in the wind. I mean, it's just,
right.
We don't even know.
Indeed, it's indeed.
True. Well, I would have liked to known y'all, but I was just a kid.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
We did it.
So that is especially more challenging. We've talked about this in groups of three, but as in a group of four, what are you even going to do if everybody's doing their own thing? See, this is what I liked about both these scenes, though, is that all four of us had like our thing. I guess maybe Bill, you were the neutral arbitrator in the first one. So it wasn't, I mean, you still had your own thing in that respect, but it wasn't your own kind of bizarreness. Mm-hmm. So people weren't jumping on each other's team. So that means you're doing it wrong.
Well, that's fine. Well, it doesn't matter which one you pick. You just have to pick one. And you can't be switching sides or like trying to like, oh, what's funny? It'd be funny. Because once you decide you're not a kid, that ship has sailed. And if you start trying to like, oh, I should have been a kid. Mm-hmm. Well, now you're just weird. Now it's
mm-hmm. And then I think in the second one, you know, we were all gods and goddesses.
Natch.
There were no morals among us.
That's true. Well, I
noticed that Mark kind of made decisions for other people in the second one, which was interesting.
Yeah, was like, that wrong? I just wanted to.
I'm curious.
You picked your own.
What do the improv people like, think about that? Yeah.
Oh, I love it when people pick things for me.
Well, Bill, you started talking about the sun, and I was just trying to remember, wait, is that Helios? Is that Apollo? What is the difference? But I was actually very into mythology in like sixth grade. So I do remember the difference between those, but I don't remember the details. Like, I think the moon was also a chariot, but who is that? Was that Circe or something? That's not, I don't know.
Yeah.
Luna. Stella Luna.
Probably. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. There's probably one listener out there. Well, technically.
When you called me Demeter, I was like happy that I knew Demeter was a woman. Didn't know that she was the queen of wheat.
But I was panicking on your behalf. I was like, who's Demeter? I don't know.
She was something with like, in a picture, she was like half a deer or something like that. Or maybe like her counterpart male was a deer.
Spirit animal.
Yeah. Her consort.
Mm-hmm. You might be thinking of Artemis, but I
might be.
But she was also a hunter. So was she a hunter and a deer? I'd have to look into this.
I don't know either. I was just happy I knew that Demeter was a woman. I was like, I know that's me. Check.
I doubt the Greeks sat down one day with a blank, you know, clay tablet and wrote our gods on the top. And then
I remember it being a thing of concern that there wasn't entirely agreement about who the 12 Olympians are. You know, they're 12 for sure.
Right.
But like, I guess Hades was one of them, but then he got bumped out. And so Bacchus, the god of wine, became, you know, or Dionysus.
That called up to the big leagues.
Yeah. Or was it Hestia that wasn't? I don't remember the details of it, but I wanted it to be very neat.
Yeah. I have a book that like, you know, starts with like Prometheus and then it's like
family tree.
Mm. And it's even looking at the family tree, I'm like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Presuming these ancient people who lived thousands of years ago over a span of hundreds of years.
Yeah.
With little contact with each other. Had reached consensus over these things. Yeah.
For a good religion, you got to have a single creator, Scientology. You got to just have one person. It's just one person's vision. And then it's just all
tight. Such a tight construct.
Right. Ideally, like a popular fiction author would be the best.
Which popular fiction author would you like to create a religion?
Is it Pat? Yeah. Who's the guy who does all the books in the airport that are numbers? That are like, you know, one survivor, two to tango. It's like Dan Patterson or someone like that. It's all just like airplane, you know, like airport.
the Dan. Right.
The
James
that, like,
Patterson universe.
The James Patterson. Yeah. Right. I think that's it. Yeah.
I think that one of the pieces of that puzzle, though, is that they have to be unsuccessful.
wildly
unsuccessful,
right?
That works,
which makes it hard to think of examples of them because they're not going to be anyone you can think of.
You only hear about them after they've started the cult.
Exactly.
Who won today? Who do we think won today, Mark?
What do we? Let's go around. Linda, who was it? The improv? Was it the philosophy? Which one are you going to go home chanting tonight?
I'm going to say improv, even though I feel bad saying it.
It's just, cool. Yeah. What did you think, Andrew?
I just always have more fun with the improv because it's like not the thing that I know. So like, I'm going to go with improv. Yeah.
Wow. Wow, Mark, this puts me in a fantastic situation here because I can grab a W for my team. You know what I'm saying?
I know
pretty
what you're
easily, mm-hmm. you know, but my heart wants to say philosophy because that ended up driving a lot of the material. And without thinking about this whole consent and things, I don't think our Greek gods would have gone the direction they went without that whole notion of politics.
Right.
I'm going to be the big man and say philosophy, Mark. I'm going to be the big man. I'm going to be the better man.
Well, I think the consensus is going to be improv because I'm going to say other. I feel like talk about generals and gods was more interesting than either of the other things.
That is I think you're actually onto something there.
We haven't talked.
And I only said improv. I did feel bad saying it, but like the philosophy, I don't want to say was like way over my head, but I was like, it's a lot of information. It was like, I was the Jeremy in the philosophy conversation.
Every class has a Jeremy in it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, every podcast has a Jeremy. Today, that was me.
We appreciate both of your attendances.
And, yes, this was fantastic.
Thanks so for having us.
Thanks you, listeners, so for listenings and watchers for watchings. I will go back to my prison cell now.
They only let me out for 1 hour every Monday.
Great fun, y'all. That was super fun. Yep. Those scenes were so easy to fall into, and everyone had such good stuff. Pushed everything forward. That was really cool.
Thanks for listening to Philosophy versus Improv. There is YouTube. If you'd like to see the expressions on our faces, our gestures, perhaps you can better detect whether there's any romantic chemistry between any of the participants. So I will link to that video at the blog post for this episode at philosophyimprov.com. You'll also find there links to subscribe directly to this podcast in case you're listening to it on the Partially Examined Life feed or elsewhere. You'll also see a graphic that will lead you through how to leave a nice rating and review of the podcast. We can never get enough of those. And there's a link to our Patreon, which includes a feed that is ad-free and includes our post-game discussion. Now, the post-game discussion for this one was short enough, and it was relevant enough to what we just talked about that I'm actually going to include it so you can get a little sample of what you would hear were you to merely pledge a dollar an episode at patreon.com/philosophyimprov. Or if you're already listening to the Philosophy versus Improv feed on Apple Podcasts, there should be a subscribe button right there that will then magically transform every episode into one that is ad-free and has this post-game discussion. And the modest fee that Apple charges for such a privilege will also give you similar privileges for my Pretty Much Pop and Nakedly Examined Music podcasts. So keep listening for the next few minutes here, and you will see what the future subscribed you would be hearing for every episode, and thus be a better off you, and I think actually a better you. See if you agree.
And you got any plugs or anything, either Linda or Andrew?
I've got that Dumb John Wednesday nights, 7:30 at IO.
People here in Chicagoland.
Competing with Bill's show. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. It's fine.
We're not competing. We're just at the same time.
Is it actually at the same time or just the same night? Can I run from one to the other?
No.
Mm. Damn.
That's rough.
Yeah. I guess I'll just have to make the choice by not going down to Chicago at all. Even though I keep saying that I'm going to do that.
The 90-minute all interstate drive.
It's closer to 2 hours for me.
Okay, fair enough.
It definitely violates my freedom to have two shows on the same night and also have them be a 24-hour drive away from me.
Well, there we go. Yeah. There we go. That's the more consequential variable, I feel.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Probably. Yeah. Please don't be offended if I don't come to your show.
Do you have any plugs, Andrew, or anything?
So I actually just released an episode about John Rawls on my podcast. My podcast is called Reductio, which is it's the word reduction without the N. And so it's a philosophy podcast, and I did an episode on John Rawls just because I think he's a really interesting figure, and he's kind of like difficult to wrap your head around. And at his core, he's very simple. And then there's so many threads to pull. So I had fun making that episode. And so,
he's relatively contemporary, awesome. Right?
Yeah, he's like writing in like the '70s.
Wow, that's so, for philosophy. That's like a baby. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe one of his most vocal critics, Charles Mills, like just died like 3 weeks ago or something.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it's like this is like Rawls is still like a towering figure in political thought. And so it's kind of fun to engage with him a little bit.
Sure. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
I'm glad I did not vote for philosophy this time, because given that we introduced the concept of liberalism, actually talking about the critiques of liberalism, which is what I thought we were going to do. Yeah. I don't think we actually did that whatsoever.
Yeah, we didn't get there. Yeah.
That C. Charles Mills is like specifically like a, you know, from the point of view of being purely liberal exacerbates racism and doesn't correct historical injustices.
Yeah.
Right. Complete free speech, colorblind everything.
Colorblind policies,
That would rule out affirmative.
Quote unquote fair procedures. And yeah, things like affirmative action is just like, How do you make the case that that's fair when it's like, you know, you're clearly just like putting your thumb on the scales with something like affirmative action.
Yeah.
So that's not a fair procedure. It's not neutral or whatever. Yeah.
But yet.
I mean, if we could erase everything.
Yeah. You start back at zero. So yeah.
If you erase everything.
I call king.
Right. That is, it's an interesting question. What do the gods come up with if they're just going to like throw out even some of the gods and then like create a new society? Because that's a different question than like, what do we do right now?
Yeah. Yes. Andrew introduced this as like the social contract, which is an imaginary thing. You know, imagine if people were in the state of nature, what would they agree to if they got together? And Charles Mills wrote about the racial contract, which he thought actually happened, that countries explicitly, you know, constructed themselves to exploit black people. You know, this is his thesis. So that, it's not abstract.
It ends up looking very different than the social contract. Like the social contract is like, hey, I won't kill you if you don't kill me. So we like lose some freedom, but then we gain, you know, security or whatever. And then the racial contract
people
is
over
like,
there.
Yeah.
Yes.
The racial contract is like, hey, keep working even past the point of exhaustion and I won't brutalize you. Like ends up looking very, very different.
Right.
Yeah. I do have to say a little bit off topic. Mark and I used to talk about, hey, do you have any like media recommendations? And I'm not sure if I ever recommended this TV show. They've only made 6 episodes. Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. Andrew has seen it. It's ridiculous and silly, and I'm sure it's floating around YouTube somewhere. But there was one joke from Richard Ayoade that I had to repeat. That was and spoiler alert, but he was talking about eulogizing a friend who had on one of the cast members of this show, and he's like, oh, she was so nice, so wonderful, like a candle in the wind, completely unreliable. And I cannot hear candle in the wind without thinking completely unreliable.
Okay, totally unreliable.
Yeah.
But there are many other jokes of that caliber.
It's not a very nice thing to say about some of their candle in the wind, you know?
Exactly. It's a terrible thing. It's a horrible thing.
You're an outmoded technology.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this turn of conversation is bringing me to dark places and wanting to and thinking about wars and things. So let's stop now. And say again, thanks to the supporter for listening. Thanks for you all for showing up. What do you think of the new... It's a team. It's less responsibility for you individually. Is that better or is that less fun?
I enjoy having 4 people to play off of. That part is fun.
Okay. was it pretty much equivalent for you, Linda, as last time? Or is this a vastly different experience?
I don't remember the last time.
That's the right answer.
But I don't remember anything else about the details.
Way too much time at Bacchus's.
Yes.
Between then and now.
Yeah.
Killing brain cells.
Yeah.
Killing lots of brain cells.
All right. Thanks, listeners and supporters.
Yes, Mark, thank you. Something?
I learned a lot from you all today.
I learned a lot from all of you.
And, I learned a lot from you.
And scene.
And scene.
I was looking away in it. I shall sell my soul. Bankrupt. Bankrupt.
Bankrupt. At Arizona State University, we offer a wide variety of degree programs online to match all kinds of interests and career aspirations. Programs that are taught by the same notable faculty who teach on campus and designed using innovative technology to improve learning outcomes and equip you for post-graduation success. That's why 87% of ASU online graduates indicated they were promoted at work or received an increase in salary after earning their degree. Find your program at asuonline.asu.edu.